So we're at session five. Session five is a very, very nice session because now we speak about Zion, and we'll get to understand because we just did true church, false church last week, right? We did true church, false church. How many of you have anything to say about that? You know, from the stuff we did last week, you need any clarity, or you have any comments, or you have a question or questions about true church, false church. True church, false church. Anybody? Do you understand one of the key things to be the true church? Tell me one of the key things to be the true church. What is one of the key things to be classified true church? One of the key things to be true church. Pardon? Okay, yeah. Oneness is, there's no wrong or right. It is right. I'm looking for another word. If you look at that word, you'll get the other word. Obedience. Very good, very good. That's it. Obedience. One of the key things going forward is obedience. Obedience. If you're going to be true church, and you at the level now, I'm not going to talk to you that church is not a building. We are the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. Do I have to explain that? No, I don't have to. I've done that many times over. So obedience, church is associated with obedience. And the true church will come to a place of total obedience to Christ, his commands, his statutes, everything that he demands. So if Christ asks us for 10 things, we do our best and strive to get 10. Everybody's okay, because we don't live our lives in obedience. So Abraham is a technology, a template, a model for obedience. He prefigured a church that will obey God, because God asks him to do the thing that is impossible, to kill the thing that he loves the best, and the thing that the promise will come through. And Abraham has the courage, the determination, the psychological makeup. Listen, he has the psychological makeup. He has the emotional makeup. Deep down in him, there is something that pushed him to go up the mountain, knowing full well that in the face of every reality that spoke against him, he was going to sacrifice his only son. And this is the level of tenacity, perseverance. This is the level of bravery and obedience that the church must come into. If we come into this level of obedience, we'll get the day when there will be the supernatural that will take place. We won't need a superstar, because Jesus said that these signs will follow those that believe. Signs will follow. So I am here, right? I am here, and I am going this way. Wherever I go, there are signs following me. Signs, wonders, miracles. We're not there yet. It's going to take us a long time to get there. Don't live under any illusion. We'll get there. God's word is forever true. I believe God's word. We get there. But we have to come until Ephesians 4. We come into the fullness of the stature. You know Ephesians 4? God has set in the church apostles, pastors, prophets. Ephesians 4, you know the text, right? And that, it says, when it says God has set in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and all of that, that is not like a hierarchical pyramid. This is not, we are not introducing a new papal scheme, you know, where you have fathers at the bottom, then you go up, you have like a bishop, you got the bishop of this, and then archbishops, cardinals, then on the topmost layer, you got the chief, the apostle or something. We are not introducing any papal system, any hierarchical system, any system that is like a pyramid, any system that has bureaucracy, or any system that will enslave anybody. The scriptures never enslave you. True church will never enslave you. True church will set you free. It'll have a mosaic dimension in. Let my people go. It'll speak to Pharaoh. And it'll set people free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed, never to be bound again. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Are you listening? So this is the pattern of a true church. Elijah is a pattern of a true church. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor, a pattern, a technology of a true church. So we have to keep going back to the patriarchs. We have to keep going back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Find out what did they have that caused them to excel, caused them to experience God in a way that we have not to this day. And in Christ, we can. Right? In Christ, we can, because Christ is the fulfillment, the totality of everything that all the prophets spoke about. Christ is the ultimate model of grace and the total representation of the new covenant in God. And so, but we have to go back to the ancient fathers and find out in the scriptures what they had. So I'm repeating that because people are saying they must go to secular sources and find out what they did. It's not a bad idea. Jack Welch was good. You know who Jack Welch was? You know Jack Welch? GE, General Electric. Jack Welch wrote a standard business textbook, Good to Great. He celebrated the world over. But listen, it's good, you can read the book. It'll help you in your business and whatever. But the scriptures have everything. If you're willing to go back, dig it in, mine it, go and search the scriptures, and you'll find, you know, the wisdom of the ages. The wisdom of the ages is Christ. And you'll find him there. It'll empower you to become an obedient person and to be the true church. So one of the defining marks of a true church is obedience. And obedience, the root word of obedience, is the ability to hear. The root word of obedience is the ability to hear. And we have to come to a place where we hear our Father. We can hear him speak. God, our Father, is a speaking God. He speaks to us. He's our Father. He speaks to us through his prophets and his agents. Right? Whoever that agent is can speak to us through circumstances, can speak to us to our children. You know, God is speaking to us constantly every day. Primarily, he speaks to us through his holy word. The final revelation is God's holy word. So I want you to understand all of this, because sometimes our critics, and I'm not so worried about the critics, because most of my critics, they're insignificant. It's just that some people, when you know, you can be two people, you can be 10,000 people and you're quiet, and you can have two empty vessels. You know what empty vessels do? They make a big noise. So a lot of times they don't understand where we're coming from, or they confuse us with other people. I don't want to be confused with other people. We teach a very, very distinctive straight line in terms of what we believe is rooted in the Holy Scriptures, is rooted in the ancient past, the wisdom of the ancient past, is rooted in Jesus Christ and what his apostles taught, is rooted in what St. Paul taught, is rooted in the ancient church fathers, in the ancient creeds that we have received, like the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, is rooted in some of the newer church documents, like the Chicago Evangelical Manifesto, the Lausanne Covenant. So we are not here like other people departing from foundational truth. Actually, we are going back and re-examining all of that and sculpturing it so that we can be relevant in a postmodern age. All right. So I want to tell you all of that to tell you that the Zion Church is a very powerful symbol, a very powerful metaphor of how we are looking at church. Whenever you read about Zion in the Bible, it's not referring to a geographic location in Israel, but Zion is a symbol of the church in its glorious and perfected state. So the common understanding of Zion is people confuse Zion with a geographical dot point in Israel. They think Zion, when you say Zion, it's referring to Israel. Now, it is a very limited understanding. So you have, do you know that the Palestinians now, I'll just digress a little, I'll give you some context, then we'll run through it. The Palestinians will attack anything that has a Zionist affiliation, or if you think it's Zionist, that means Zionism is connected to the founding of the State of Israel in 1948. Historically, Zionists are connected to the founding of the Jewish state in 1948, the partition of that geographical point in the Middle East, and Israel emerged into existence. It's called a Zionist state, and hence the term Zionism. And so anybody who protects Israel or defends Israel or any apologist or propaganda for Israel, in defense of Israel, is termed Zionist or Zionism. Everybody's okay. So you'll see that the Palestinians or ISIS, Al-Qaeda or Al-Shabaab or any of these crazy people, they always have anti-Zionist sentiment. What they're indicating, they don't like Israel. They don't like the policies of the Israeli state. So it's become politicized in the 21st century, and we sometimes don't understand it. So when we talk about Zion, we are not talking about a political movement of people to establish a Jewish state in Israel in 1948. We are not talking about people that defend Israel, because you also have like the fundamentalists in the U.S. in particular, and in parts of Europe, who are obsessed with Israel, and they are what, in their own terms, and in their own lives, will say they are pro-Zionist, and they think they're doing God a favor by building the Zion state, the state of Zion, Israel, and defending it and protecting it, and doing all kinds of things for it. So, in my particular viewpoint, I'm not a Zionist as such, but I understand the scriptures say we must pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and the Israeli people, the Jewish people, are a special people on the planet that have failed God, but God is still have his covenant with them. If you go to Israel, how many of you have been to Israel? Nobody. You didn't go to Zion. Well, let's say maybe 2 to 3 years from now, I want to take a group to Zion, right? To Israel. I want to take a group to Israel. Hopefully we'll all go together. But if you ever have the chance, take it. Israel, a beautiful place. It is unbelievable. The Israelis are so blessed of God. When you go there, you'll see how good the state is. Without a shadow of exaggeration, if you go to Israel, you'll see lush fields. They have an abundance of fruit, abundance of vegetable, tomatoes and grapes and pomegranate and apples, and the stuff grows, man. The red tomatoes are red. They lush, no anorexic. Nothing is anorexic. Nothing. Everything grows well. You'll see fields of green. You'll be traveling on the national road or whatever. You'll see, for as far as the eye can see, you'll see fields of green. Lush, thick green. Real healthy stuff. Then, if you just leave the nation of Israel, just walk across the road, then there's another country. And it's brown. There's nothing growing. And all that place has got, it's dry. The whole area is dry. There's desertification fills the Middle East. But just in the state of Israel, it is absolutely stunning. Beautiful. You cannot understand this. It's beyond the mind to comprehend and understand. But you have to put it down to the fact that they are a blessed people. That they are blessed. There's a divine blessing, and God gives his blessing. This is the thing about God's blessing. Once he gives it to you, when you first comply, it can go for 1,000 generations from now. It'll stay, because it's the blessings of God. He will not change it. That is why we need to come into that place of obedience, that our children's children, children's children, I was saying that on Sunday, will be blessed of God. The covenant that you make with God, and your authenticity, your truth, your integrity, your honesty, will not only be with you, God will reward 1,000 generations to come because of your honesty and your integrity, and particularly your obedience. Don't ever violate obedience. Do everything you can to be obedient to Christ, obedient to his word, obedient to his kingdom, obedient to his commands. And so I want to just say that we're not talking about that kind of thing. We're not talking about a geographical spot in the Middle East. We're not talking about this entire political thing concerning Zionism and Zionists and all of that. You also, I told you, you have Christian Zionists. Hagee, how many of you have seen Hagee on TV? John Hagee, Cornerstone Church from Oklahoma. He's a Christian, what you call a Christian Zionist. Whenever he gets an opportunity, he thinks that Jesus will come there and he's going to reestablish the thing. All rubbish. It's all lies. It will never ever happen because Jesus is not coming to one ethnic nation. Jesus is coming for the whole world. John the Divine had a picture of that state from every kindred and every tongue and every tribe. Millions of people were worshiping in the book of Revelation. So it's not the Jewish people anymore, because the Messiah came to them. And did they receive the Messiah? No. They rather condemned him. They killed him. You know, they were the conspirators who killed him. And now he came to the Gentiles. We are those Gentiles. And we received him. And we are the engrafted. We were adopted into the family of God. And now the church is the true Israel of God. All those who are obedient to him are the true Israel of God, are the authentic Israel of God. Everybody's okay. So don't let anybody confuse you about that. Also, don't argue with people because some people, they just don't know. If you just don't know, you just don't know. So we're not talking about that geographical point or a location or some political idea. But Zion in the Bible is a metaphor, a symbol of the church in its glorious and perfected state. Zion is a metaphor of the church in its glorious and perfected state. God is building church to its complete perfection, and as we grow and develop in the kingdom, we are becoming that church. The Zion church is expression of the kingdom, and will be the church that ultimately takes rulership and dominates the earth. All scriptures referring to the issue of dominion, overcoming, reigning, and ruling is describing the Zion church and the objectives of the kingdom. In order for us to become the Zion church, we have to understand what a Zion church is and the processes bring the church to this place of elevation. Also understand that there are many churches in the world, but God is beginning to select a particular church from within the nominal church to be that Zion church. That is why many Christians may know about the intention of the kingdom, but disqualify themselves from being a part of the process. That word intention is I-N-T-E-N-T, right? T is missing. So there is the church, right? And out of the church, the Zion church is a first fruit offering unto God, is a first fruit company. The Zion church is a remnant portion that emerges first from everything else. Everybody's okay? And so it's a metaphor. In order for us to become the Zion church, we have to understand what a Zion church is and the processes that bring the church to this place of elevation. So we're talking about an elevated place. The word for that process is a lovely word, and Israelis use it today. Now, they use a word. In the scriptures, they use a word. So if this is the point of Zion, everybody's okay? It's an elevated position. Elevated. Right? You have to. The Bible says, David says, who can ascend into the? Who can? Ascend. Ascend, right? Ascend into the hill of the Lord. The hill of the Lord, see, the hill of the Lord is what? Yeah, Zion. Are you listening? The hill of the Lord, what David was prefiguring, what he is implying, is that Zion position, that Zion state. Who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now, to just give you, to help you with something else, the Israelis all over the world, Jews all over the world, use a term. The term is, have you heard this term before? Aliyah. How many of you heard the term before? Nobody. So if you meet devout Jews from around the world, or if you ever get to the international airport in Jerusalem, in Israel, you'll come across people, you ask them, say you're in, at Heathrow and you're taking El Al also and going to Israel. You meet other people, Jewish people and everything. You ask them what you're doing. Are you on holiday? No, they'll say, this is the word, this is how they say it. They say, no, we're making Aliyah. You know, it sounds like something else. You know, even Muslim people have, you know, they say it like that. But they're making Hajj. You know, they make Hajj. These people are making Aliyah. Aliyah, the word for Aliyah, guess what the word for Aliyah is? Sorry? Yeah, no, the word for Aliyah is this. Going up, ascend. Same thing, ascend. They're ascending into Zion, the physical location. Are you listening? They are ascending into a physical location, a geographical spot. It's false, it's illusionary, it's not for them it's an ideal. For us who understand Christ, we know that we are ascending into the hill of the Lord. We are ascending into a Zion position, an elevated process, an elevated position. It's the it's a glorious and perfected state where God is taking us to. Everybody's okay. Right. Also understand that, okay, I'm finished with that. So what is a Zion church? Psalm 48. If you have your Bibles, who's got their Bible, yeah? You want to read Psalm 48 for us. Let's just take a moment to just read Psalm 48. Now, the word Zion is mentioned multiples of times in the Bible. Multiples of time. In terms of the mountain of the Lord, the hill of Zion, the daughters of Zion, multiples of time. So if you have it, do you have it, Pastor Dean? You can read it for us. Psalm 48. Yeah, read from verses 1 to 3, then I'll tell you to read it as we go along. When I was growing up, we used to sing a song. I don't know if you all sang the song. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the old earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. That's how it should end, right? Is Mount Zion on the side of the north. So, you know, when I was singing it when I was a little boy, I used to always think, no, one day we're going to Jerusalem. But now I know better. Do you understand? We're not going to some geographical place. This is a state of being. This is a state that God is calling us. This refers to a position in the spirit. God is building his people to maturity. Maturity comes when people understand the demands of the kingdom, the present requirements of God, and their manifested obedience. So Zion, it is a place of loftiness, and the missing word is elevation. E-L-E-V-A-T-I-O-N. It's a place of loftiness and elevation. Also, you can add in there, Zion is a place of restoration. Zion is a place of redemption. Zion is a place of Christ himself. More than being a place, Zion is concerned with a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He is the Christ, the Messiah. Everybody's okay? So Zion is a place of loftiness and elevation, a place of total restoration, total redemption. And these places, if you talk about total restoration and total redemption, then you can't minus it out. You can't exclude. There's no restoration without Christ. There is no redemption without Christ. You'll have to talk about Christ first. He embodies restoration. He embodies redemption. So it is about Christ. Zion is significantly about Christ. It's a state, it's a position in the Spirit. So I want you to answer the question. Do you understand what God is requiring of you now, today, in terms of what he is doing in the earth presently? How many of you understand what God is doing? Do you understand what God requires of you today? Anybody? Do you understand what God is requiring of you today in terms of what he is doing in the earth presently? Do you, anybody? Yes, Dane? Yes, do you understand what God is requiring of you? The demands he's placing on us. Yes, because these are not, listen, these are not old demands. See, traditional churches, they don't understand the demands of God. They don't understand what God is requiring of them today. That is why they can sit in their old, their nice pews or lovely chairs, whatever it is, wherever they are, and just rock themselves into, Jesus, come, take me away. I'm tired of living, Jesus. The world is too bad. It's getting, sin is terrible. Let's just all fly away. Let's disappear. Let's run away. See, that is a mentality that we have to overcome. Yes, Ron. I don't know. I'm not too. We are going to the marriage feast of the Lamb. Dane. So, two, it is a place of battle and warfare. Dean, can you read the 48 verses 4 to 7? So, Zion is a place of loftiness and elevation, a place of restoration, redemption, the place, ultimate place for Christ, but also is a place of battle and warfare. There are two issues of warfare: internal, that means we're waging war against the flesh. We are to overcome the internal resistance that lurks within us, to obey God and be true to him. Then we have external warfare. We are waging war against Babylon, the systems and demands of the world that oppresses and opposes
the purposes of God. The other word that you need to include there is opposers. The Zion church will overcome both to see God's plan fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, Zion is a place of warfare. We engage in warfare every day. I'm not talking about, see, listen, I want you to listen to me. I'm not talking about low-level warfare. Generally, weak, immature Christians are trapped by low-level warfare, entry-level warfare. Entry-level warfare is somebody demon-possessed. Do you understand? That's entry-level warfare, when somebody is demon-possessed. When I was 18 years old and 19 years old, we were casting out devils from low-level warfare. Do you understand? It's low-level warfare. Anybody can do that. That's not for super giants. Oh, you have to be many years in ministry and all of that to cast out devils from people. This is low level. That's demonic possession. And it happens. When I was growing up, every day I think somebody will manifest. In every church service, the people will have demons. You'll cast demons out, all kinds of demons. I've seen all kinds of demons. You'll see like a snake demon. Have you seen a snake demon? Pambu demon. So when that thing manifests, it'll go like a snake, not on the floor. It'll be moving like a snake. Hanuman, have you seen a Hanuman demon? Hanuman, that thing will be like the whole physical body. I'm talking about things I face to face. I'm not talking about what I read. Eh? This is like face to face. The whole disposition of a person will become like a monkey. Anu, you know Anu? Anu is not a girl. Anu is the demon. Right. Anuman. So, the whole person will become like that. And these people, they can even climb up the KNJ. You know KNJ? You know KNJ? Katta janda, man. You know that KNJ is a perfume. They'll even be able to climb up the Katta janda, because in that state, they are empowered. But listen now. That's low level. Say low level. Low level warfare. We have to train our kids to take care of that. You mustn't get involved in all of these things. Don't spend your life there. Don't spend your life with devils and demons. Spend your life pursuing Christ, pursuing a Zion position, ascending to it. Are you listening? Who will ascend into the hill of the Lord? Those who have clean hands, pure heart. Are you listening? So that is where we want to be. We want to have clean hands and we want to have a pure heart. Whatever you do every day, ask God to give you clean hands and a pure heart. That, you know, all your thinking, all your heart position will be pure towards God, clean towards other people. Clean hands, pure heart. Because then you are in ascending position. You're moving towards Zion. Everybody's okay. Everybody's okay. So we have two areas of warfare. Internal within us. And you know our flesh? My flesh is weak. Your flesh? I don't know about your flesh. Inside of us, it's weak. It falls. It fails. Paul said like this. Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. That which I want to do, I don't do. How many of you are like that? We all like that. You know, you say, you know, you're not going to speak any lies today for the next 24 hours. Then you say one white lie. It's a lie nonetheless. Right? And what we should be aiming for is the Zion position. Pure hands, clean hearts, ascending into the hill of the Lord, which is Zion. So it's internal within us. That's the place of warfare. Then it's external. We are waging war against Babylon. Babylon is the fallen systems and strategies that are on our planet. we go to work in Babylon. Everybody's okay? We go and work there. That's Babylon. It's a fallen economic system. It's a fallen political system. Everything is fallen. Babylon is a network of fallen systems and strategies. And all of these systems and strategies oppose the true church, they oppose Christ, and they oppose his word. Everybody's okay? They oppose the Father, they oppose the Son, and they oppose the Spirit, they oppose the Word, and they oppose the true church, those who are in the true church. It's Babylon. And we're called to wage war against Babylon. The true church, the Zion church, will overcome both the internal flesh and the external Babylon. Everybody's okay? If you're okay, say yes. How much does the system of the world control you, and how much of your life is truthfully given to the purposes of God? Each of us must answer that question. How much of the world system control you, and how much of your life is truthfully given to the purposes of God? You see, if you are honest, lots of the systems of the planet, the Babylonian systems, are controlling and dictating and determining your life's purpose. It clouds us, every one of us. None of us are exempt from it. And that is why we need to pursue. That is why we need to engage in warfare every day, to get rid of this flesh internally and to defeat the Babylonian culture externally. Because Babylon crowds us. It takes the oxygen away from us. You can't go, you know, you go to companies, the corporates on our planet are Babylonian. They make you work, they make you sign. Once you sign there, you signed your life away. And whatever they do, whatever they tell you to do, supersedes your faith in Christ. They're not bothered about your faith in Christ. You can go to hell. That faith in Christ can go to hell, as far as they are concerned. They will make you do what they want you to do. If you have to work 18 hours, then you work 18 hours. If you have to work 24 hours, you work 24 hours for them. Babylon is like that. It drives you away from Christ. It drives you. The values of Babylon are different from the values of Zion. In Zion, we talk about purity and cleanliness and cleanness. Babylon is not like that. They show you cleanness and purity on the outside. When you enter in, it's darkness. It's dirty. It's filthy. They got every aberration, every dysfunctionality taking place in it. And they're saying, yes, let's go for it. Recently, News 24, I've been promoting News 24 subtly, promoting polyamory. You know what polyamory is, huh? Polyamory is different from polygamy. Our president is polygamous. He's, you know, this is not a private thing. It's public, and it affects our tax base, because all of his wives get paid out of our tax money. All of their children, they have a right to houses, food, security, cars, spending, holidays. Everything that the president has, they have. I think the bill for the president, you know, his expense bill is $1 billion a year. That's why, because all of his wives, they have the same kind of security detail and everything that, you know, because when they go out now, they also need security, and they got spending money to go to Harrods and, you know, Macy's and wherever they shop. So our president is polygamous, but there's the system that's coming now that we've accepted homosexuality and polygamy has always been here. The system that's coming underneath, and it's slowly making its way, is polyamory. Polyamory is the ability to marry, to be married to multiple people at the same time and make your medical aid pay for it. See, that's when it'll bust the system. Babylon will crash because it won't be able to sustain the system. So, say I'm married to Rowena. Rowena can get married to David. David can be married to Sushila. Sushila can be married to whatever. I can get married to Romila. Romila, and I can be married also to Rowena. I'll get the same benefits. I'll demand the same benefits that I get from Rowena. You understand? I'll have children. They have to be the same, get all the benefits. You have children, you lay claim to state grants. You go to a hospital, you'll get the same stuff. On death, you have the same rules of succession. Are you listening? Then the pension, how the pension and this thing, if anything happens. All the same rules as a normal marriage, but you are multiple married at the same time. You're in and out of houses and bedrooms and people's lives. How's that for living? Well, that's our next phase. That's where we're going. The intellectuals in Canada are already proposing. They're just waiting for the right time. They are gearing themselves legally to... You'll see one day. Oh, where you heard that? No, you heard the nut speaking at the building school, GBS, on a Monday night. So, we have to confront Babylon. That's what I'm saying. Don't allow those systems to take over us. We have to confront it. Every day we're engaged in spiritual warfare. Every day. Every day you're meeting people that are opposed to what the scriptures teach. And it is tough. It's never easy. You know, we can stand up here when you're outside of the system and we are protected by each one of us. But then you have to go back where you are the only person and there's 10 people around you all saying, it's steal, let's steal, man. You're the only one saying, no, I don't think stealing is a nice thing. They say, where you came from? Where you came from? You didn't steal in your life. Stealing is good. It helps us to see all the scars I got here. We stole all this. This is the last time we went on holiday. We also stole the money we went on holiday. What are you talking? We're enjoying ourselves. You where you went to? You paid for your holiday. Hey, we got stolen money. See, you know what I'm saying? So we have to fight internally. We got the flesh. Externally, we got the Babylonian systems. It's a fight. Zion is warfare. 3, it's a place of determined manifestation. Psalm 48:8, and it came to our ears as we've seen it, in the town of the Lord of armies, in the town of our God. God will keep it fixed forever. God will keep it fixed forever. Are you listening to me? Zion is the place where the prophecies of old are now becoming a reality, not just a recital of prophecy, but a manifestation of it. People begin to see the operations of God, which they heard about, come to pass. Listen, as it came to our ears, so we have seen it in the town of the Lord of armies, in the town of our God. God will keep it fixed forever. Zion is a place of manifestation. You'll see the manifest presence, the glory of God come, and the prophecies of old will be fulfilled in the Zion state, in the Zion position. Acts 2:12-16. And they are all surprised and doubt, saying to one another, what is the reason for this? But others, making sport of them, said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, getting up in heaven, said in a loud voice, men of Judea, and all who are living in Jerusalem, take note of this and give ear to my words. For these men are not overcome with wine, as it seems to you, for it is the only third hour of the day. But this is the thing which was said by the prophet Joel, which was spoken by the prophets, is now taking place. The Pharisees, Matthew 23, were focused on adorning the tombs of the prophets. They were protecting the words of the prophets, but did not understand what God was saying through them. This is the deception of the end time church. See, as we move towards the end, there'll be people more interested in what is dead than what is alive. They'll be protecting the dead. They'll be protecting old, what they called old-time religion. Have you heard that phrase? Give me that old-time religion. It was good enough for Daniel, and it is good enough for me. Listen, it was not good enough for Daniel, and it's not good enough for us, because what we need is how to come into the new covenant. What we need is how to know Christ. And old-time religion was good. I say, give me new-time religion. You know, it's a new time. It's a new day. Give us a new day of what is God doing. And listen, the new day started 2,000 years ago. The new day is new. It started 2,000 years with Christ. Everybody's okay. It's new in Christ. In Christ, it's new. So, don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees and everybody else who protect the words of the prophets but didn't understand what they were saying. They had no idea. They just knew the words, but they didn't know how it applied, how it should be worked out. Question: what are the prophecies being fulfilled presently, and what is my responsibility in it? So you need to answer that for yourself and think through it, reflect on it. 4, obedience and righteousness are lifestyles in Zion. Psalm 48, verses 9 to 11. Our thoughts were of you, of your mercy, O God, while we were in your temple. As your name is, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let there be joy in the mountain of Zion. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your wise decisions. Zion is a place where obedience to God is no more an option but a lifestyle. I told you one of the distinguishing factors of a Zion church is obedience. Everybody's okay. Obedience. Obedience. We have to come to a place of obedience, and I wish the church gets this right, because our downfall constantly is not that we don't have faith. See, faith is easy, because Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. We all have faith like a mustard seed. Sometimes we have faith more than a mustard seed, right? And the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds you can get. So, we have faith. That is not in question. What is the problem area that we get into is our obedience. We don't want to obey. We don't want to obey Christ. We don't want to obey his word. He speaks to us constantly, and we just turn our backs on him. Or we walk away. We got our own agenda, our own life, our own lifestyle, our own thoughts. And his thoughts don't become our thoughts. And we have to come to a place where we can think Christ's thoughts after Christ. You know, his ways become our ways. His ways are always higher than our ways, because his ways are higher. It's a Zion position. Are you listening? And so we have to pursue that. We have to actively engage that. Not everybody will be impressed with you. Not everybody will celebrate you. But just keep pursuing. And the Bible says, those that endure to the end shall be saved. See, redemption is when you get to the end. Total restoration. It's easy to start. It's easy to sing big songs, jump and jive. But can you stay the distance? Can you finish the comrades? You know, I don't know how many thousand people start comrades. But all those people don't finish. They never. Everybody don't finish. Everybody don't finish it in the time given, because along the way they felt, the flesh gave in, or the Babylonian systems distracted them. Either one or both. And we can't be like that. We must ascend into the hill of the Lord. Pursue. Activate. Be energized. Be enthused by our faith in God. And do everything that we can to live a lifestyle of obedience. The people who live in Zion have brought themselves to a place of total surrender to the purposes of God. They do not have to go to God because God is with them and in them. All their decisions and desires now operate from the rule of the kingdom in them. They have matured past the place of obligation and effort to a place of joy in obedience. And we have to move past obligation. You know, we're not doing this because we're obligated. Let me give you a simple, ordinary thing that we all talk about all of the time. When you tithe, you're not obligated to tithe. See, there should be no obligation. Obligation means there's a legal imposition. If you don't do it, you'll be punished. We don't live like that. When we tithe, we just do it because we love God. It's our love for Him. Not a legal injunction. It's not any legal imposition, not imposed on us. It's a lifestyle of obedience. We say if we give out 10%, the rest is blessed of God. Do you understand? And so it helps. It helps in two ways. It controls the flesh within and helps us not to conform to Babylon outside. Babylon says you must take. Zion says you must give. Babylon says you need more to live. Zion says if you give away some, you can have more when you have less. Are you listening? Zion is different. You have to die to live. You have to go down to go up. Everybody's okay. So this is the kind of lifestyle of obedience. Obedience is always connected to righteousness. We live righteous lives, holy lives. This is not a lifestyle. Even you may not, you know, in this life, all of us will not become millionaires. All of us may not drive German cars. All of us may not drive Italian cars or whatever cars or own our own airplane. But the fact that you have started a life of ascent and ascending. Listen, you will come to a place called Zion in the spirit. Your location in the spirit will be Zion. And Zion, I told you, is an elevated place, but is a place of total restoration and total redemption. Total restoration and total redemption. And so all the things that you missed one day, you won't even bother about it. Because it didn't really matter in the end. Because when you have a Zion perspective, you look at the planet and you look at eternity with different eyes from a different elevation. Are you listening? See, if you are here, if this was a mountain, if you are at this point of the elevation, if you climb the mountain, when you're here, you see reality in a given way. If you are here, you see reality in another way. If you are here, you see reality in another way. But when you get here, you have a 360 view of reality. You see it totally different. You have another perspective. And when you get to a Zion position in the spirit, you're seeing the way God sees the planet. And therefore, all material things fade into oblivion. They don't really matter anymore. And you're not insecure anymore about the car that you drive or the house that you live. Well, if you're driving a Lamborghini, well, good for you. You know, we'll celebrate you. We maybe want to get a ride with you one day to just feel how the Lamborghini drives. But we're not insecure because we are driving a Mini Cooper. Or we're not insecure because we own a bicycle. Because we see things differently now. The flesh we have overcome or overcoming, and we're also overcoming Babylonian systems and strategies that seek to throttle us and take the lifeblood and oxygen away from us. The people who live in Zion have brought themselves to a place of total surrender to the purposes of God. They do not have to go to God because God is with them and in them. All their decisions and desires now operate from the rule of the kingdom in them. They have matured past a place of obligation and effort to a place of joy in obeying. Question: how much of what God wants is a pleasure, a joy for me to do? How much of what God wants is a pleasure or a joy? You'll know where you are. That question will separate the men from the boys, the girls from the ladies. Sia, is it a pleasure or joy for me to do? Is it a joy? Is it a pleasure for you to do? Or is it a pain? You're suffering. You're living under obligation. If I don't, they'll condemn me. Oh, the only reason we're doing this is because if we don't, they'll get to know and then we won't fit in. No. We do it for him. We do it for him. It's pleasure. We want to bring pleasure to him. It's a joy. That is an ascending position. You're coming into Zion. When you're no more trapped by your internal flesh or your external Babylon. Are you okay? Zion stands as an example. The word is example. E-X-A-M-P-L. Psalm 48 verses 12 to 14. Make your way about Zion and go around it, numbering its towers. Take note of its strong walls, looking well at its fair buildings, so that you may give word of it to the generation that comes after. Because this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide. This is a place where people can determine and view the greatness of God through structural example. This is not a place of teaching or preaching by words, but an open display of super quality life by example. People come to admire the quality and structure of the believer's life and are drawn to its greatness. God is glorified because it is through him that we have been made perfect. So, Zion stands as an example. The scripture says that in that day, Isaiah chapter 2, they'll come to the mountain of the Lord. They'll come to the mountain of the Lord. There is only one significant mountain. There's not seven mountains. Right? There's only one mountain. It's the mountain of the Lord. That is a Zion position. They'll come to the mountain of the Lord. Read it. Isaiah chapter 2. And they'll ask of us, teach us your ways. Are you listening? Teach us your ways. Because Zion is an example. It's an example of people who are living appropriately. They're living in obedience. They're living with a lifestyle of righteousness. They're living in the spirit of Christ. They have love one for another. They are forgiving. They have wisdom beyond the ordinary, 10 times better than the best. They excel at what they do. It's incomprehensible that everywhere there's drought, but they have an oasis. Everywhere people are failing, but they are succeeding. Everywhere people cannot make it, but they are making it. Everywhere there's recession, inflation, and bad news, but at Zion, there's good news. It's an example. Are you listening? It's an example. And so God wants us to come to that Zion position. That Zion position. That Zion position. Question. When people look at the structure of our lives, without our justifications and explanations, what do they see? See, sometimes we can justify. We can explain. No. I'm told when people just look at you, they must see something in you. You must have quality. You must have excellence. You cannot be, mediocre. That is why we say you have to study. Just go and study. Do something more. Go and excel. We want our kids to go to school. We want them to go to universities, technicons. We want them to go get not one degree, get 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. How many? How much? We want them to excel, be outstanding. Because when they see us, just by looking at us, the way we've been structured, the way we are put together, our architecture, the very architecture of us must speak for itself before we speak. Right? Our mere presence must change the atmosphere because of what we contain, what we carry. We carry grace from Christ. We have the ability to love, extend ourselves. We have the ability to be hospitable. We are friendly. We've never read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, but we have the ability to do that. Are you listening to me? And so this is the kind of structure that we must have that runs through our veins. When you walk in anywhere, you must become influential, persuasive. You carry the DNA of Christ, grace. Your shadow has the capacity to bring healing. Are you listening? It's a Zion position, the way you are structured. You're an example for everyone else. Everybody wants to have what you have. And listen, in this system, there's no need to put up the tent. Are you listening? There's no need to put up the tent and say, come to Jesus. Because we have thousands and thousands of people everywhere that are taking Jesus to the world. They're taking Jesus to the marketplace. They're taking Jesus to where they work because of who they are, the way they are structured. The architecture of your external and internal, the way you are entwined and wired, the way you are engineered, just gives off grace. It gives off excellence. No mediocrity. You're not mediocre by any chance. You are the best because you chose a Zion position, an ascending position. Who will go to the hill of the Lord except those who have clean hands and a pure heart? Zion. Zion is an example. Zion is righteousness and obedience. Zion is a place of determination. Zion is a place of warfare. Zion is a place of elevation, total restoration, total redemption. Zion. I trust this evening that you have a picture of what we're talking about. The next time you see Zion in the Bible, there's a song that we've been singing. We have come to Zion. Know how it goes? We have come to Mount Zion, the city. I think it is the city of the living God. It is Hebrews chapter 12. Just check that. I think it's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Just check for me. It's either Hebrews chapter 11 or 12. Just check. We'll read that and then we leave. Good. So the next time you read Zion, about Zion in the Bible, I trust that you understand some of the dynamics that we've been talking about today. Sorry? 12, please read, sir. There you are. That text is a very powerful text. Very, very powerful text. Then you have another text in Revelation chapter 21 also. Similar thing. And you'll see that even the New Jerusalem is a Zion position. A place of perfection, total restoration. So great. I hope you this evening was profitable, and we want the school to help, you know, in a way, create a first fruit company of people that understand what we're saying. In this time, it's never easy. It's tough because we're going against Babylonian systems. Even churches are trapped by Babylon. See, that's the thing. Churches are trapped by Babylon. And the new evangelism will be to take churches out of Babylon. You understand? Not just taking people out of sin, but churches out of Babylon. Because they're trapped by those systems, by systems of darkness, systems of obligation, and systems, Pharisaical systems. So we have to be gracious, we have to be kind, we have to be loving, forgiving. And where we have erred, we ask God to forgive us, and He does. He forgives our sins, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then we get on to the point of getting to the hill of the Lord, Mount Zion. Ascend to the hill of the Lord. Amen.